This is Daim Shabazz, the Chess Drum. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's October 10th. And I am with Malaku Lorne, Mario Marshall, and Casa Corley. And we're at the Abyssinian Restaurant, I believe it is, here in Vegas. And between rounds, in between the fifth and sixth round. And we're waiting on our food. But just wanted to chat with the guys and see how things are going, see how they like Vegas. In fact, it's Malaku's birthday today. So how's it going for you so far, Malaku?
Started out well, but I hit a rough patch. And I figure the birthday is the best thing about today.
Yeah, so he hit you with the bishop f7. Kind of woke you up because you look like you're a bit tired, and bishop f7.
I just lost 2 pounds like that. Well, I had a choice between losing 2 pounds or losing a pound on the exchange. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, lose 2 pounds. I eventually got back one, but it wasn't enough.
So overall, how's the tournament been going? Is it rough going or?
It's been rough going. I think I've been underperforming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But hopefully it improves. Still 2 more rounds.
More rounds. So you won the qualifier, the Jamaican qualifier, and this is your first time to Vegas?
Yes. It won't be my last time, though.
It won't be?
No.
Are you going to casinos? Did you do any gambling?
No gambling.
Okay.
I'm considering it now, though. I need to make money somehow.
Yeah. Well, it was all expenses, right?
Yeah, that's the bright part about it.
And then we're treating you to birthday dinner, so
yeah.
What could be better than that?
Well, if someone treated me to birthday or something else later, that would be even better. Yeah, like clubbing, not the other thing.
Yeah. Mario, so how's your tournament going?
Performance-wise, the worst tournament I've ever played in.
Ever?
Ever, yeah. I don't think I've ever played the bottom board twice, you know? I don't think I've ever played the bottom board of a tournament. I mean, even in the DC International or stronger tournaments, I've probably performed better.
So has it been kind of the jet lag, the time difference? Because
I think it's more just Vegas is just such a busy place, and because I love playing poker also.
So you've been playing poker?
Yeah, it's hard for me to not play.
Okay.
So that's definitely a distractor.
So yeah, how are you doing with the poker?
I'm probably still down a little, but I'm getting back. Yesterday I got back a good chunk of it. Yesterday, so.
So I know you drew last night, right?
Yeah, last night I drew, and today I won.
You won. Good. That's progress.
So that's progress. Getting better.
See, when your last couple of games, and you get 50%, right?
Yeah, I also feel I'm playing better. So the game today, I didn't feel as tired. I saw more of the board, and I think I won fairly effortlessly. So I'm feeling better now.
It kind of takes time.
Yeah.
How about you, Casa? Casa's you're doing pretty good.
I don't know. I mean, I have bigger expectations of myself. I'm never satisfied. Yeah, I mean, it was sort of, I got off to a good start. I had 1.5 out of 2. I lost to Lenderman, which sort of set me back. And, I mean, one loss really just sort of knocks you out of Millionaire Monday. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, just from after 7 rounds, you got to be at least 5.5. So the margin of error is like this. So,
Well, you'll probably still take home something.
I don't know. I mean, I don't care about the class prizes. The goal was to make it to Millionaire Money, to be one of those four. I know it sounds crazy that like to have that sort of goal, but anything other than that is not a success. It's a
and then the norm was ruined.
Yeah, because of the forfeit the first round. So, but hey, I won last night and I drew a Cobian today. So I have 3 out of 5. I mean, it's pretty solid. I mean, it's unfortunate that the forfeit was there. I'm not the only one.
I don't know what has been going on with the forfeits. There's been a lot of forfeits. And I know some people, they backed out at the last minute, and then I heard that they had, it was some, the old registration list
that they were using, and people had already dropped out on the registration list, but that's what they were using preparing. And you know, so there obviously was a lot of people who weren't going to be here, but they were paired anyway. And
yeah, there's definitely some discrepancy, because I mean, the first round I even wasn't paired, you know,
right,
the first,
right,
the
at
first
all.
Pair, yeah, at all. And I was like freaking out. I was like, what's going on? And I turned out I wasn't the only one. There were maybe like six or seven people that just weren't paired at all, and they had to redo the pairings. And I think somehow when they redid the pairings, they sort of captured people that weren't in the event. So it's just an unfortunate thing that happened. But and I mean, this tournament is so much more than the norm, right? It's so much of it is about the money. So
well, we're actually about to eat. But what do you all think about Millionaire Chess? Has it been? You think it's been a good tournament? What have been your observations? And you can be candid, because Maurice would probably want to hear this.
Anybody?
Oh, I'll start. I think there's some sort of like, I think it's a huge problem that there was forfeits. I think there was, thank you. Even though I think it was sort of the fault of, I think the organizers put the players in a difficult position with the forfeits, but I mean, it's not entirely their fault, you know, but it's a tough situation. And then, I don't know, just the open pairings have not been up an hour before the round. They've been
right.
up like 20 minutes before, 15 minutes before. And that's tough when you're trying to, you know, get an edge, you know. The opening preparation doesn't mean all that much when you have 10 minutes to get it done, so.
What about you, Mario?
Does the counter castle, doesn't it go both ways, because now they don't have time to prepare for you?
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of these guys have like a breadth of like chess knowledge in general, so
okay,
you sort of want to get your edges
sort of
where you can get them, especially when you're white. But it's been fun. I mean, I can't, like, that being said, I would go back here again, and like, it's just been a great tournament. I love the atmosphere. I like watching the broadcasts. I mean, even when the rounds are done, I like to go back and watch the broadcast because it's fun. It's entertaining.
It is. It
The people, all these people that are passionate about chess and talking about it, and it's great. You have to bring your own pieces and clocks, you know. Like, and so it's great. It's great all around. And you know, so I mean, it's really a dream in many ways.
Yeah, I think Maurice and Amy are onto something. What I particularly like is the, you know, they have these tablets, and they have the RFID scanner. So that when you come out, you scan your bracelet and the result goes into this database. And I think that's probably something we need to see at tournaments on the regular, you know, because that makes it a lot easier. I mean, I think you still have to mark your score, but, you know, when you scan this bracelet, then everything is in your profile.
Yeah, but if they do that, they need to get pairings, like, up on the screen.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we're all huddled around like a piece of paper, like 60 people huddled around a tiny poster is like tough.
That's been pretty disappointing, the progress, not for this tournament, but in chess in terms of pairings and in terms of results and so on. I remember in 98 in the Olympiad, this is 1998, I mean, it was mainly on DGT boards. You put the results in just by, you know, if white won, you put two kings on the middle white square or something like that.
Right.
This was 1998. You know, I'd think that in 2015 this would have been the norm. I mean, it's weird that even the prices for DGT boards haven't gone down or something. So
yeah, that's absurdly priced, overpriced.
Yeah, for technology that was around in 1998, I mean, you know, the iPhone wasn't around then. I mean, there's so many things that have happened since 1998.
That's the chess world in general. I mean, it moves slowly. There's a bureaucracy that you have to get around. There are not so many good leaders, and you just gotta appreciate, you know, what you get.
But you look at Millionaire Chess, and Maurice and Amy are trying things.
Yes.
They're trying new things, and you know, if it works, it works. If not, then they try something else. But I think you know, with the effort being where it is, trying to make the playing hall, you know, a lot more aesthetically appealing, you know, with the world champions and then Amy added the women's players. and you got the purple sashes in the middle of the table. I think it's just a nice touch.
Yeah, the,
it's really beautiful.
It's definitely, in terms of in the States, I've never experienced such a nice atmosphere at a tournament. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's something you have to see yourself. I don't think I could describe it.
You could tell they modeled a lot of it after the Sinkfeld Cup, because they have the same types of, like, at least when I watch the broadcast for that, they have
Fat
posters
and yeah,
the,
yeah.
of the, all the players in the tournament, and I mean, it looked like a very similar design, similar setup. So they're just trying to make it as professional as it can be, and for, you know, us amateurs, you know, it's that's awesome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. So what do you think about Maku?
The overall impressions on Millionaire Chess.
I think it's been a brilliant tournament so far. In terms of, well, apart from obviously the pairings, but everything else has been a bit revolutionary. In terms of even the bracelet thing that they're trying, I like that. And, well, I think we probably need a bit more arbiters as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that there seems to be a shortage. Because even for my first round, that apparently redone the pairings or something for the open. So I ended up, well, I was supposed to be board 82, but I saw someone from the opener board 82. So I'm like, wait, so I went to look at the pairings again and I came back. I was like, so where am I supposed to play? So I spent like 5 minutes trying to find someone. And eventually they carried me around the back to the guy who was already up 15 minutes by then.
He was up 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Man, you're halfway to forfeit. You're halfway there.
But yeah, I like the concept. This is hot.
I like it.
What are you eating? The spicy lentils?
Come on, you can take that. They have spices in Jamaica. You need then you can absorb that. Put that in your system.
Scotch bonnet peppers.
Scotch bonnet. Right. I was gonna say, is this
it's
like
hotter.
Scotch bonnet?
Oh. This is not as hot.
Yeah. What's going on, Maluku?
It's getting soft,
all right?
I don't need to
take
one.
Take a little bit of the cold swig.
You all right?
I don't need that one.
Oh,
you don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a talk that the...
How's everything?
Everything's good.
Good?
Thank you.
You want more beer?
I'm good for now.
No. Okay.
There's talk that... That the Millionaire Open is going to be moving to the East Coast. They haven't announced the location. They're just talk about what some of the possible venues. I think Atlantic City has come up, that name. So who knows? But I think a lot of people want to see these tournaments happen more frequently during the year. And I think they were actually trying to hold the tournament, was that in April, but it was too soon after
the previous one,
so they decided to just go ahead and have it at the same time. But probably, you know, just slow and steady, not try to do too much too fast.
I mean,
because it's
have,
a good concept.
If you could have like two or three of these events a year, chess would blow up. It would blow up. Like, all of a sudden, you could actually play chess professionally. You know, like, you could, like, all of a sudden, you'd have a lot of attention. Like, people could just be focused on chess solely. Like, I mean, and that's, I think, that's what I hope the vision is that if you have opens like this, a few of them a year, you're in business. You know, like you set up shop, you could play chess for a living. And that's what many amateurs want to do, you know, at the end of the day. Like, I've seen a shirt, it wasn't here, but I saw a shirt maybe like a year ago, I was like, it said, born to play chess, forced to work, you know? I know so many people that probably feel that way, and I'm sure there are many more people that feel that way, right? Like, you feel like you have this passion for the game, like no other thing, but, you know, you gotta figure out a monetary hustle, too, so.
Yeah, definitely. I know a couple of players that won $40,000 last year, and one of them said that, yeah, it totally changed his life. In fact, I think it was Jimmy Canny, if I'm not mistaken. Or Kenny Cash, is what he calls
himself. Kenny Cash is rapper name.
So yeah, it's definitely something that is going to change, hopefully, the landscape of chess here.
And it changes chess. Like, look at him now, he's like 23, 30, somewhere around there, FIDE. He was nowhere near that even a year ago, but after he got some money, he got some financial security, he's been able to focus on chess a little more than he would like, than he probably normally did. I heard he's in Arizona now teaching chess, mm-hmm. like he's totally focused, or is refocused on chess. And so that's where the money could serve. Your priorities can be reassessed, right?
Same with Kazem. Kazem Gulamali went to Europe, won his 40,000, went to Europe, played in a bunch of tournaments, got one IM norm, and got a life experience. So, and he paid $2,000. And he paid $2,000 the entry fee.
Wow.
At the door. And made 40,000. So, you know, I think people just get sidetracked. They see the entry fee and they're not used to paying that much money to play chess.
I was weird from, I mean, from a math perspective, it's probably, compared to the other tournament, this tournament is definitely had a higher expected value in terms of what you get in the chance. I mean, you don't have to win to get back to win some money. I mean, not that you're playing for the money, but I mean, I don't think the 1,000 should. In other words, the other tournaments are actually more expensive than this tournament, even though, you know, if you look at the prices and so on.
And this is a poker player talking. It's an expected value. You know, he's really got it down to a science here. But it's true. Like, yeah, I mean, if you, especially if you put the work in, your expected value goes way up if you put the work in before the tournament. I mean, for real. Like, if you're playing for the class prize or in the class section, under 22, 100,000, the dudes that, you know, are winning these things, they put in some work before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about it is, you know, you can put in the work and really feel you that everything is in your control because, I mean, I don't feel at all like, you know, it's like so, it'd be near impossible to cheat, for instance, that it's, they give you that peace of mind that, you know, you're playing a human and, you know, you're gonna get, you're in control, you're fully in control. And that's the best thing about it too.
Well, we're gonna end up in this group interview, unless there's anything else you have to say. Well, we're not gonna be singing happy birthday to Malaku, but we will get him some dessert or anything he wants, and we're enjoying this Ethiopian food, and hopefully you all are enjoying the Millionaire Open Chess coverage, and I'm gonna be posting some pictures of us eating this delicious Ethiopian food. So, with my mouth half full, this is Daim Shabazz, and I'm signing off in Las Vegas.